Good morning and welcome. I'm just pondering this morning about how long it is since I stood and did worship. I can't remember. It's at least 2 years through lockdown. But as some of you know, I was diagnosed with asthma a few years ago, and it altered my breathing and my chest and everything else, and I couldn't sing. But thankfully, some days, the singing is coming. Well, you might... Who said no? The singing is coming back gradually. Good days and bad days, it's same for everybody, isn't it? But welcome this morning. I did a tap show last night, and we were all saying, oh, I did that wrong, I did that bit wrong, I did that bit wrong. So if my voice goes, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We're here to worship an amazing God. It doesn't matter whether my voice goes. It doesn't matter whether we go wrong in a tap show, as long as we worship Jesus. Okay, so let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for this new day, for this amazing weather, for the people who are in this building, for your church. We just thank you that you're there, whatever we are going through, sometimes tough times, that you're there through the good and the bad equally. Sometimes more through the bad, but we don't realise you're there until we've gone through it to the other side. But we have a God who cares for us, a God who is there in our time of need. In Galatians 2:20, it says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So reveal yourself to us afresh this morning, Lord. Let's see blessings in the most dire circumstances. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. The lovely, gorgeous, wonderful, amazing carol. Come on, can I keep going until you get here? Fantastic, fantabulous, amazing, cool. Oh, might as well sit down then.
Nutcase. Lovely to have you back where you belong, at the front. You are a dynamic duo, you two, this morning. Batman and Robin. Laurel and Hardy, I'm not sure, but anyway. Good morning, everybody. It's lovely to be together again, whether you're actually here in the building or watching us on YouTube. Beautiful sunny day, as Tim quite rightly prayed. We thank God for the warmth as well, so it's all good. And we look forward to David's going to be speaking to us soon, so no pressure there, just... So just a few notices for this week. Tomorrow, Monday, the ladies' meeting, they'll be meeting down here at 1:30. And tomorrow evening, the trustees will be meeting at 7:30. So we really do value your prayers as we meet together, the Lord will just guide us what he wants us to do and any decisions that we need to make. So that's tomorrow evening at 7:30. And Mums and Tots are back on track again this week down here on Tuesday morning. Next Sunday, I mentioned last week, we're watching the we've been part of, let's put it that way, the Baptist Assembly, which will be screened from YouTube during the morning service. Because of legalities, we're not allowed to live stream while we're actually watching something on YouTube. So we won't be live streaming, but Dave is going to send a link out by email that means that people can actually tune in themselves and be part of that. And we will be taking communion as well as part of next Sunday morning service. If anyone's got any problems or they need to know more about it, just contact somebody and they'll be able to help you. Website, Facebook page, weekly updates, all still up and running. But again, please do get in touch if you need anything. If there's anything that we can do or help in any way, there's always someone around. A few days ago, Nev and me spent a lovely couple of hours in Clumber Park. It was really nice, so colourful. Everything's so bright and green, and the bluebells had started to come out as well, which was just really nice. Spring has definitely sprung, as they say, and I know when we say everything's bursting into life, it's a bit of a cliche, but it is a perfect way, I think, to describe the miracle of creation, when everything just seems so dark and dead during the winter, and suddenly it all just appears again. Can't be chance, that, can it? No way. It's got to come from a creator God. And I think he definitely knew what he was doing when he made springtime so colourful, because after the winter months, you know, we just need that little boost. And it's just so nice being out in the country, in the fresh air, and just to feel safe that we can, because for so many people that's just not possible. Well, I love being in the garden, but I'm not much of a gardener. But I do know how important it is to prune off dead branches and cut back bushes and shrubs at the end of the year. And I was a little bit reckless at the end of last year, and I went a bit mad with the edge cutters and what have you. And when I looked at what I'd done, I thought, oh dear, I don't think this is going to come back to life. But guess what? It did. And they're just looking so lovely at the minute. I'm mentioning all this because during Lent, the Bible Society did a Lent encounter course, which was, there was a reflection every day for the series, all through Lent. And one of them caught my attention, and it was about Jesus being the vine and us being the branches. And this is, of course, it's in John 15, 1 to 17. And he's speaking to his disciples. I'm sure there's many of us will be very familiar with this passage. And as usual, when Jesus was teaching, he used illustrations that his listeners could relate to. And of course, the vine was very much part of everyday life. Winemaking was an integral aspect of first century culture, and so everyone would have understood what he was saying and where he was coming from. And there's lots of lessons to be learned from this scripture. I'm sure many of us have heard sermons preached on it. And one of them, of course, is the need for us to be pruned spiritually. But the part I want to reflect on just for a few minutes is verse 5. And it said, I am the vine and you are the branches. And if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. So what does this fruit look like? Now, I think I'm probably a bit slow on the uptake, but sometimes I wonder, well, what does it mean, the fruit? But of course, it's the fruit of the Spirit. It makes complete sense. And that's why what they were reflecting on in this series through Lent. And in Galatians 5:22, we have a list of the fruits of the Spirit. And we've mentioned it before. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And we're asked to live a life that includes all things, just as Jesus did. Oh, that's a real challenge and a half, isn't it? And I have to admit that I think I've failed on just about every one of those this past week, in one way or another. But the good news is that God isn't expecting us to do it all on our own, and he does forgive us, doesn't he, when we mess up. Because continuing on from the verse in John 15, Jesus tells us that apart from him, or apart from me, you can do nothing. And he wants and expects us to call on him for help and support. And to be able to do this, we have to stay connected to him, don't we? Just like the branches of the vine, if they're cut off, they just die. And Jesus wants us to spend time with him and build the relationships with him. And from a human perspective, it seems a very big ask to live by the fruits of the Spirit all the time. And there will be times, won't there, when we lose our temper, we lose patience, we lose our peace, and all the other things that we come up against as a result of living in a sinful world. But Jesus understands, doesn't he? After all, he lived in this sinful world for 33 years, and he's well aware, more than anybody, of the difficulties that everyday life brings. And he won't condemn us for getting things wrong sometimes. We just have to tell him we're sorry and he'll forgive us, won't he? And in the words of Alexander the Meerkat, simples. Right, junior church, Oh, is that just you this morning, Thomas? We've got another little girl there at the back. So would you like to leave now, please, and do your thing? Thank you. Suzanne, would you like to come and read for us, please?
Readings on page 959 of the Church Bibles. 1 Corinthians 12. I'll be starting at verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and on those parts of the body that we think less honourable, we bestow the greater honour. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honour to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honoured, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way.
Well, thank you, and let me extend my welcome to you all this morning, whether we're here gathered in the building or at home watching on YouTube right now or catching up. We're all part of the body of Christ. Some maybe familiar words to you here. His yellow skin scarcely covered the work of muscles and arteries beneath. His hair was of a lustrous black and flowing, his teeth of a pearly whiteness. But these luxuriances only formed the most horrid contrast with his watery eyes that seemed almost the same colour as his dun white sockets in which they were set. He was shrivelled complexion and black lips, straight his gigantic stature and the deformity of his aspects, more hideous than belongs to humanity, instantly informed me that as it was the wretch to whom I had given life. Familiar words? Maybe of Mary Shelley's Frankenstein? May sound more familiar. But you'll recognise them, the medical student, the story who took limbs from dead bodies to make an artificial man, which he brought to life with the energy of lightning, electricity. And the whole thing, if you like, is terrifying in its ugliness. This whole concept, this body made up of stray limbs, disjointed, sluggish, horrid, rotten, artificially brought together by man rather than by God, as bodies were intended to be, as God created them. And here we heard how the Apostle Paul describes the church as the body of Christ. And when we talk of church, we may have in mind our individual congregation. We may have a wider concept of that. But our congregation may be here in Swallowness, where we're all made in different ways of our diverse backgrounds. Or whenever we think about the church as the body of Christ, it's fair to say that the scepter of Frankenstein's monster often looms large. Because this thought, if you like, as we look at our individual congregations and the church together, we're often faced with a disturbing question. Are we really living and working together as the beautiful body of Christ as God intends? Or does the church of Swallowness, in a way, look completely different? Seems more like Frankenstein's monster, especially to those outside of church life. To those that will see from without to look within, does it appear to be any more than a jumble of joints, distorted, not fitting together, not working properly, too much man-made organisation, not enough God-fashioned organism? Are we less like a body, more like a business? And so as we look and reflect on that, as we look and have that in mind, what do we become more like? What do we want to become more like in this sense of what Paul is saying here, of what we may be facing in our days and future ahead? Are we to be more like the body of Christ, less man-made monster? Well, we heard here in this passage, as Suzanne read it to us, how Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, explaining how we must grow up in faith and maturity together as the body of Christ, each together with their own works planned from God, each coming together and working in unity and in love together. And we've heard of that this morning, as Carol reminded us, as Jesus taught in previous parts, in different times. It's fair to say that each of us, each and every Christian, needs to see himself or herself as part of this body of Christ. Wherever we may be, wherever we may find ourselves, that together we work for the greater good, all playing their part in the one body. And if there's any divisions, as it speaks of, and yes, there are times when there are divisions, we would hope that it would be worked through, that there would be that time of bringing harmony and a deeper relationship together. But sometimes relationships break down. Often people may go their own way and do their own thing. Maybe God is calling them away to do a different thing. You only need look at Acts 15 and be reminded of that story of where Paul and Barnabas had a great falling out. There were serious divisions in that relationship, and they split and went their own way. But later on, as you read, they came back and the greater good was worked out. Sometimes relationships never have a chance of forming. Sometimes there's issues and they arise, and it's right that people seek where God will lead them to, wherever that may be, whenever that may be. But if we only focus on that, then we miss the bigger picture of what God is calling us to. If we truly are wanting to follow Christ, if we truly believe that each of us are called by God to do his work, wherever that may be, that we together discern the mind of Christ, to discern God's word together and his direction and his mission for us and how that plays out, then I think we need to agree that there's no opting out in this. And we'll go through a few things as we look at this in detail. Paul says to the church in Corinth, actually at the beginning in chapter 1, verse 10, he says, "I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. So he's reminding right at the beginning, as he writes in his first letter to the people in Corinth, that there be no divisions, that there's no opting out, if you like. And he reminds them later on that the body is a unit, though it's made up of many different parts. And through all its parts, and many, they form one body. And so it is with Christ, as we heard earlier. For all were baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jew or Greek, slave or free, all were given the one Spirit to drink. And it's through this, though there are many parts, there is this one body. And he reminds, and he serves to remind them and only us as well, that we are now the body of Christ, and each one are a part of it, however that looks. And I think it's fair to say that that is only true if you truly believe in that. And if you truly believe in that, then each of us will strive to reach this way of life. That each true believing Christian belongs to the body of Christ, and in each of that part of life is part of a team, because it's not an individual event. Yes, we have our individual unique relationships with Father God through Jesus Christ, but together as the body of Christ, it is about being part of that team. A football player will not profess that they're a great football player and never play in a team or even in a real football match. Just like a violinist, for instance, will never say that they are part of an orchestra and stand away and play on their own and do what they want. All being part together, who are truly committed and want to be in union with each other, play that part, not causing divisions or angst, but that all will have that part to play in God's mission. Seeing the spiritual gifts that we have, seeing how together we can form and realise that none of us are useless. None of us are outside of that. No part of the body of Christ is redundant. Why? Because Christ is King and he sits upon the throne. Christ is alive, as we were celebrating only a couple of weeks ago. He's risen and is alive forevermore. And we can't opt out just because we're not invited maybe to do the job that we think we want to do, or that we may want to control and manipulate and do it in our own way. Our responsibility is to take the part that God has given for us, using the gifts that he has given us, to do the job that he wants us to do and is calling us to, wherever and whenever that may be. So when each separate part works together, if you like, as it should, the whole body grows, and there's no opting out, and there's also no inferiority. Paul goes on to remind us in verse 15 here. He says, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not be for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear says, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not be for that reason that it ceases to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, we're reminded, then where would the sense of hearing be? And if the whole body was an ear, where would the sense of smell be? From that, I'm sure we can draw that we're not all to be the same. And praise God that you're not all like me. But that each of us are different. Each of us are unique in the creation of God, called and set apart to do the work that he's calling us to, but that we do that together in the unity of the body. Parts of the body, different functions, but that doesn't mean to say that it's not parts of the body, they still belong. And we know that because it was reminded in verse 18, if you look there, it says, God has arranged all the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? So no opting out, no inferiority, but also no superiority, no pride, no exclusiveness or arrogance. We're reminded again, as I just said in verse 21, that I cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you either. But on the contrary, that these parts of the body have that seem to be weaker and indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honourable treat with special honour. But yet what we find is that sadly, within humanity, within our walk with each other, so often people will look down on others. And it's fair to say that quite often that happens more often than not in churches, through Christian believers that will look down on their brothers and sisters as somewhat different. That things will come out that they don't like, I don't like his theology, I don't like her lifestyle, I don't like the way they dress, I don't even like the pastor. It happens. It happens. And yet, people then profess that we're all part of the body of Christ, all doing what we should, all doing what God wants, when actually you've got people that are opting out left, right and centre. You've got people that are making others feel inferior. You've got others that are trying to be holier than thou and create divisions and create different ways and saying, actually, it should be this way. And ignoring everybody else. How is that working together as part of the body? Because it's God who affirms, it's God who sets apart, it's God who ordains each and every one of us to do his will. And if that's true and we truly believe that, then our relationship with Christ works, and it works even more because we work harder to be more Christ-like. Being humble, being patient, being kind, being caring, that they are part of Christ's body together, that each and every one of us know that God has called us to serve where he wants us to serve, to the work that he's wanting us to do. Not just because it will make us look good or feel good, but because you're actually going to see God's kingdom extend where we are called to work. We have to make space and let others play their part. But remember verse 25, that key point that there should be no division in the body, but its parts should have equal concern for one another. If one part suffers, then all suffers. No division in the body. Differences, yes, of course, there's going to be differences. That's part of our Baptist makeup, our ecclesiology, if you like, that Baptists disagree, but disagree well and have differences. But it's the part that often people find that these are where the issues are caused. This is where the divisions come into play. This is where it leads to power struggles, to party interests, to personality clashes, where differences can't be resolved because it becomes divisional. You'll never find hands saying to the feet that they're going to fall out when the head turns around and goes, I need to cut the toenails. The hands go, oh, I'm not going near them. They just do it. Or like the eyes that are looking into a shop, the legs don't get fed up and say, hey, you look at computers if you want to, but I'm going up the road to look at somewhere else. Because it just doesn't work. Because there's no division within the human body. But in the spiritual body of Christ, sadly, there we do find that. All the parts of the body should take care of one another. For example, if someone has terrible earache, in the human perspective, it works like this. Their feet takes them to the doctors. Their mouth explains the problem. Their hand puts the eardrops in or the antibiotics, and the mouth swallows it, and it does its job. All parts working together. But often the issues that we face are people opting out, as I said, people being made to feel inferior, people acting superior, ignoring the needs of others, trying to control and manipulate to do their own things, all of which causes those divisions, leaving the church looking more like Frankenstein's monster than the body of Christ. Because when we fall away from the source, the true source of Jesus Christ, we begin to die off in the spiritual sense. This is true of any individual congregation. It's equally true of the relationships between congregations, between the churches across our lands and our nations. But yet we're called to move on to what God is calling us to, for the blessings that we'll receive, to be united together for God's mission and his purpose and for his sake and for his glory. Because a church which is only man-made monster grieves the Holy Spirit of God. It grieves the Christ as the head of the body. And it grieves the Father heart of God together. That perfect union, that perfect trinity of three in one, to which we are called to be a part of. And so often the church gives that very poor example of God's love. God commands us to show his kind of sacrificial love to a sin-spoilt world. But how often do we find where we hear others saying, I can't even be bothered to love one another? Or how we begin to see how we should seek the least, the last and the lost, but then do it in a different way than maybe what's intended. So to be part of this body of Christ, if you like, this amazing creation that we have, each and every one of us, know that it can be done. Know that we can do it, and know that we can do amazing things when we realise what God is calling us to. To be part of that body of Christ in unity together. Now, as we heard earlier, it's not always going to be perfect. There will be differences of opinions. There will be differences of taste and choices and whatever else we want to name, of course. But we strive to work together on that. We strive to seek those differences. And yes, some may not be resolved, but we can disagree well with each other. But the fact that we are called together, to come together, to focus on God's promises, on God's mission, where there's no opting out, no inferiority or no superiority, certainly no divisions, because it then leaves us with that question, are we the bride of Christ or the bride of Frankenstein? Are we the body of Christ, or are we just some man-made monster? What do we choose? What do we want to be? How do we want to become that and work harder to that? Because it will only be fulfilled when Christ comes again. And who knows when that will be? Where do we be? Sorry, who do we be? Who do we become? And where does that lead us? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's often amazing, as we've said, how there can be such diverse communities, such diverse people, such a richness and blessings upon one another. In the human sense, there often within our own bodies is no falling out, but in the spiritual sense, we hear what happens. Lord, I would pray that you would guide each of our hearts. I pray, Lord, that you would sustain us. As we sung the song earlier, that you are our strength, you are our shield, you are our tower. Lord, help us to truly believe in that. Help us to truly see that in each of us, as individuals, we are created in and by you. That together, as we work together, become the body of Christ, raising each other up in love and in kindness, in encouragement, in affirmation. Lord, that we will see your kingdom extending and moving as we raise disciples who make disciples, who cease to go out and do your work, however and wherever that may be. Lord, I pray that if there are any divisions, that they would be worked through. That yes, we may forgive one another. And yes, it may be right that there is a parting and people go in different ways, but it's because that you would be calling that, Lord. And so, Father God, I pray by your Spirit, you would speak into our hearts in a way that we would understand, that we would hear of you through your word, through our prayers, through conversations, and even in the still, small, quiet voice as you whisper gently into our hearts. Leave us in no doubt that we encounter the risen Lord Jesus Christ every day and know that you go before us, that you guide and you set the way. Lord, help us, as Carol said earlier, to cut off those branches that will not bear fruit. But above all, Lord, help us to be in union with you for your name's sake, for your glory, now and forevermore. Amen.
We're reminded, as Paul writes again to the people in Corinth, as he speaks into our hearts today, he says, therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we will not lose heart, but we have renounced disgrace under underhanded ways, and we refuse to practice cunning or to tampering with God's word. But by the opening of the statement of truth, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God, that we know and let the light shine out of the darkness. He has shone in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So as we go from here this day and all our days to come, may the light of our Lord Jesus Christ shine into every aspect of our life. May it banish the darkness that may surround us. May it break through that veil. May each of us know that we are protected by the blood of the Lamb. And so in that knowledge, may we go forth from here and do the great work he's called us to. In his name, for his sake, and in his glory, forever and ever. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Thank you. Take care. God bless.